Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about faith, family, and freedom under siege. We may not recognize it on the surface. That siege started heavily about 2 years ago when the administration put everything on lockdown, closed the businesses, closed the churches by a fiat executive order, closed the churches, and most of the churches have not survived. Many of the churches have not survived from that forced lockdown, that closure because of COVID-19. And that was bad enough, but ladies and gentlemen, then the forced vaccinations were against the will of the people. We're being forced to take the vaccination. I say we, multitudes, thousands, millions of people are being forced to take the vaccination. Never mind the fact that over a half million deaths have occurred as a result of the forced vaccination, with about 1.5 million or better of those that are suffering permanent, irreparable physical damages as a result of the vaccination. But we're watching that, ladies and gentlemen, take place as we lose our freedom and our faith is being undermined on every hand. The mindset is you don't have the authority to get exemption from the COVID shot because of your faith. Out of the total Pentagon organization and under the Department of Military, ladies and gentlemen, there's been 157,000, I believe was the last number, that was about 2 weeks ago, 157,000 that applied for religious exemption from the jab, and only 7 had been approved at that time. There's a move today to eviscerate the military, to remove everyone that's a conservative, everyone that's a Christian, everyone that's was a Trump follower, if you will, and using it on the basis that if you don't get the vaccination, you cannot stay in the military. We're weakening our military. We have a weak leader in Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, as President Trump formerly called him. We're watching that take place while the world is on fire. Literally, we're watching the implosion on a global basis because we are in those last of the last days. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I think is overlooked in this total ploy that's being carried out by Vladimir Putin and his murder of citizens in Ukraine, the thing that's being overlooked, if Russia comes in and is in control, that puts communism in control, and the freedom of religion in Ukraine would disappear overnight. I'm looking at an article that says Russian victory would mark the end of religious freedom in Ukraine. The article is dated March the 7th. Ukrainians are inspiring the world with their determination to fight back against Russia's unprovoked invasion. And during almost 2 weeks, and it's over 2 weeks now, of attack from one of the most sophisticated militaries in the world, the Ukrainian people have proven their resolve. They don't want to live under the control of Russia or Russian proxies, and for many good reasons. Among those countless tragedies and hardships that a Russian victory would mean for the Ukrainian people is a rollback of all religious freedoms in Ukraine. It goes on to say, Freedom House reports any ardents of faith that are not affiliated with the Russian Orthodox Church remain subject to persecution and prosecution under Russia. Believers will be punished for gathering to worship without permission, and churches are raided without cause. Authorities have banned select Christian literature, including a hymnal and translation of the Gospel of John. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're headed. That's where it's headed, in the crushing of religious liberties if Putin wins in Ukraine. So it has a far deeper, broader meaning than just a military battle, just military prowess and ability. It's murdering thousands and thousands of human beings, and it is reducing to nothing but rubble all of their major cities in Ukraine. So as Christians, we need to pray for the Ukrainian Christians. Pray for them to have strength to stand. Pray that God will provide them with the food, clothing, and shelter that they need. One Russian TV personality giving the news stated it, I think, succinctly. Quote, I'm looking at a headline dated March the 8th. We're on the brink of a nuclear war, says Russia's Today editor as she quits before the camera. Russia Today, a state-run media operation known better as RT, has lost its editor. We're on the brink of a nuclear war right now, she said. Just a week ago, she condemned Russia's President Vladimir Putin's decision to attack and invade Ukraine, where Russian troops have been killing both soldiers and civilians, including children. She admitted that she might now be in danger. Quote, the problem is, I know these people very well. And as to keep in mind, this is a Russian news anchor. The problem is, she said, I know these people very well. They never send threats. They just kill. So there is kind of a weird silence around me. But I really think we're on the brink of a nuclear war right now. I'm not exaggerating, she said, as she told Fox Digital News via social media call. Quote, I have a son. I can't leave because his father won't allow me to leave with him. And so I just prefer to stay in Moscow. It seems like we're either in North Korea or we're on the to be killed by a thermonuclear mushroom, she said in the interview. I wouldn't quit. I wouldn't lose my salary and job if I was sure that we're going to be alive for many years. But I really don't know that. What is happening is happening to all of us, and who will be next? Some of Putin's henchmen in Russian military already have raised the prospects of using nuclear devices against innocent populations anyplace on the globe, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the reality of what is seen in relationship to people right there in Russia and watching Vladimir Putin on his warpath. And if this is allowed, and it's being allowed, hear me, if this is allowed, we're going to watch Poland next, the Baltic states next, and it will then engulf all of Europe into what I contend we're watching the starting point, the flash point of the Third World War. And Putin himself has already said that it will be a nuclear war, and we're on the fast track for that. It's as though we're all on a jumbo 777, throttle, full throttle with no pilot at the controls. That's where we are as a nation and as a globe. Here's an article that I want to read before we take our next caller. Russia threatens to crash the world food market by withholding fertilizer. The fight against Western sanctions over its invasion of Ukraine, Russia will stop exporting fertilizer. That's a serious threat to the world food supply, given uncertainties regarding fertilizer even before the war erupted last month. The Russian military industry and trade recommended halting fertilizer exports until suspensions on transportation in and out of Russia are lifted, according to the Russian state news agency. The world's biggest container ship operators have stopped serving Russian ports. Russia produces 50 million tons, 13% of the world's world supply of potash, phosphorus, and nitrogen for fertilizer, the report said. Failures in fertilizer shipments could have a direct impact on national security in several countries and cause serious food shortages for hundreds of millions of people around the world in the median state, that is, in the early stages of this as it takes place. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching God's hand at work. Keep in mind some of the signs of the times for the last days, pointing to the days of the tribulation, pointing to the days leading up to and including following the rapture of the church. In fact, in Revelation, the 6th chapter, it talks about food, bread, costing a day's wages. Now, we haven't thought much about that as Christians. We've not thought much about that as theologians. But what is a day's wages? Back in that era, a day's wages would have been about, let's just say, a penny. And it would cost the equivalent of a day's wages to buy food. What will it cost in the future? Right now, we're looking at the potentiality of having a loaf of bread being $4, $5, $6 a loaf. And that's where we headed on the fast track with the depletion of world supplies, where nations around the globe will go into deep, deep famine. And famine is one of the signs, one of the indicators seen in Matthew chapter 24. I believe I have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question, comment, please.
You know, as we watch one nation after another, one business after another, sever ties with Russia and the export market drying up in Russia, it seems to me that it would take very little for China then to economically dominate Russia. And we already see some signs of partnerships between China and Russia. Where does China fall in your eschatological view? Are you seeing things come to fruition on the side of China that would fit biblically, eschatologically?
Absolutely. When you look at Revelation, the 9th chapter, we see China having a 200 million man army. Now, if you'll put that on hold a minute, in Reader's Digest, September issue of 1965, China bragged about the fact that it had a 200 million man army in 1965. And at this very moment, China, using artificial intelligence on its soldiers, so they implant a computer chip in the brain so that soldier will not feel pain, so that soldier will not be terrorized or frightened, that soldier will keep fighting until he drops dead. That's being used now as an experimental tool in the Chinese army today. China is in a position that it can, without any question, financially, economically, and militarily, dominate Russia in a heartbeat. And here we have two formerly foes, two that have linked arms. They made the decision in their joint venture agreements months and months and months ago that whatever China would do, Russia would stand with them. Whatever Russia does, China would stand with them. And this is the reason the things that we're placing on Russia of withholding oil or withholding supplies or putting the blockades on them, et cetera, is not working. It's not going to work because China is filling the gap. Whatever they cannot sell to anybody else, China can buy and use every drop of oil that Russia has. And secondly, answering your question, Greg, you look at Daniel, the 11th chapter, you find in the high point, the midst of the days of the tribulation, the only thing that frightens the socks off the Antichrist is when he sees and hears rumblings out of the east, and it's talking about China with its 200 million man army that is recited in Revelation, the 9th chapter. So yes, China is on the main front of being in the forefront of the last days, especially after the church is raptured out, and we see that conflagration that takes place that is called the war with Russia in Ezekiel 38 and 39, which rumbles into the final cataclysmic event that is called the Battle of Armageddon that wraps up this old universe. So we're watching God's hand at work with this. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Greg that I'm speaking with happens to be one of our four sons. Always delighted to have him find time to join in our dialogue and discussion. Greg, you're in the southern tip of heaven, as you call it, up in northeast Tennessee. What's your weather like there today?
That's not a fair question today. This fine day of systems moving in that by the end of the week will bring us temperature in the single digits, but it is still beautiful here in the southern tip of heaven. I'm thinking about this subject and dealing with Russia and Ukraine and where does a believer stand today? So many things we see that biblically, eschatologically, the pieces are coming together. However, I think every believer ought to also take a stand for what's right. I recently posted on Facebook, and Elie, I believe his name's pronounced Elie Wiesel. He was a survivor of the Holocaust, a prolific writer and such. But he said, we must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence. Yes. encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. And I suppose in the midst of that, we seem to have quite a few folks left and right that are afraid to state an opinion, to take a side. Why is that? I mean, why is it that there's such a fear factor? Is everybody so petrified at the notion of a nuclear holocaust that they're not even willing to speak against Russia? I mean, that has been the case of China, and we have, you know, NFL, NBA, World Wrestling Federation, all these folks that will stand up in an apologetic posture, anything touching the communist Chinese.
Yes.
Somehow or
other,
I think that did.
Greg, hold your thought there a moment. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, my comments are that I disagree with you, Reverend Youngblood.
That's all right. Go right ahead.
That's why I called. I didn't think I would ever disagree with you, but now I do. This is what
feel
I
free.
Believe,
some people do anyway.
That whatever you hear, we hear on the mainstream media, including Newsmax and Fox and a lot of the commentators about Putin and Russia, is exaggerated, biased, distorted, and quite often pure lies. Because this is the same media that was pushing for the COVID hoax, the same media that was against Trump, the same people that are against Putin are the ones who were against Trump and COVID. Also, although this is going back many years, the same people, the media, the communist politicians, who were against Batista, the Cuban so-called dictator, that was a lot better than Castro. And when you compare Batista 60 years ago to the U.S. government today, there is more corruption in the USA today than there ever was in Cuba. So the media and the communists lied about Batista, and people believed it. I believe some of it, but not since I got educated. So my point is, Zelensky has too many friends that are our enemies. So how could you be pushing for Zelensky?
That's a good question. If you pause there, let me respond.
Well, okay.
Number one, I hear what you're saying. And very frankly, based on what you're saying, I see no difference in my opinion and your opinion in where we stand, other than this one fact. You have major disdain for the media. I do also. You believe that the media always lies. I do also. So therein we have a common denominator. But just because we believe the media lies, we cannot deny what we see taking place in Ukraine. We cannot deny that it was unprovoked. We cannot deny that Putin has a goal of reassembling all of the old USSR. We cannot deny that women and children and innocent civilians have been murdered by the thing that's taking place from the bullets, the weapons, the ammunition, and the tirade that's taking place from Putin. At the same time, we must realize that we're seeing from a bias, and probably because we have the war hawks in Washington that we call the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Communist Party that wants to see us go to war. I do not want America to put boots on the streets. I do not want to see America go in and lose American lives. We did that in Korea in 1950, 51, 52, and 53. We did that in Vietnam. We did that in Afghanistan. And now there's some that are wanting us to do that over again. I do not. Greg, how about taking a shot at it, give your viewpoint for Derby? I think he has an authentic, honest question in relationship to where we are and where we should stand on this issue.
Yes, and I think much of his stand, and my stand as well, is born out of the fact that we have a runaway military-industrial complex, and that military-industrial complex would like to see America at war all the time because
yes.
it pays huge dividends. However, what is right is always right, and when you see an aggressor nation, particularly an aggressor leader, dictator like Putin, that kills his political opponents, jails his political political dissidents. And, of course, we're seeing a little bit of that here in America. So, in any case, you can't find justification for Putin and his invasion. The destruction, the slaughter, when you attack a sovereign nation, a sovereign people, and commit such horrific thing, someone must be willing to stand. Now, pointing back to the last administration, because you have a lot on the left today that want to point at the last administration, say it's his fault, and you go, I don't know where in the world you can get such an idea that Trump caused this. Matter of fact, Trump was the one saying, NATO nations, you're required to spend 2% of your GDP on defense. You need to do that. That's it. You need to pay up, step up to the plate. And guess what? They hated him for that, but many of them started stepping up to the plate. Now, had that been done consistently for the past decades, perhaps Putin would not feel so empowered. If Biden were not such an anti-energy person that's fine with energy prices soaring, then Putin would not feel so empowered. Again, I'm not blaming Biden for Putin's misdeeds. However, as a world, as a the entire free world should be willing to not only say but act in such a fashion as to push back this aggression. This is Europe's responsibility, 99%. But we happen to be one of only three superpowers on the face of the planet today that can give assist in the times of complete chaos. And at this time, we should be willing to stand so as to make sure that this does not escalate and roll into Poland and other countries in Europe.
Absolutely. Derby, what are your thoughts on Europe, folks?
I can see everything that you and Greg say. However, maybe you don't know or you haven't considered that the Ukraine government, Zelensky, has massacred thousands of Russians inside the Ukraine in the eastern provinces. There has been bombing of those provinces by the Zelensky government against these people who are Ukrainians and of Russian background, descent, Russian language, that are being abused by Zelensky. Also, there are...
Well, if I can jump in for a moment,
let me finish, because you had a long time. You and Greg talked a lot more than
okay.
I.
Okay, go ahead. I want to respond to that, though. Okay, those that are there that you're talking about are Russian nationals. Those Russian nationals are there as the enemy within Ukraine. And so what Zelensky may have or may not have done is because you have the enemy within your boundaries, and he was trying to restrain them and contain them rather than allowing the Russian nationals on those peripheral provinces from coming in through the whole nation. So
okay,
I understand that.
Biolabs that were along the Russian Ukraine-Russia border that Putin destroyed.
Those biolabs, by the way, as the latest information has come out, those biolabs that were instituted were done under the Biden and Obama administration back in 2014, setting those up in order to have them in complete operation since they had already come to the fruition about what was happening
with the
in Wuhan.
Zelensky government. Approval.
Oh, I'm not saying that Zelensky has clean hands. Zelensky has a major sordid background. I'm not questioning that at all. We have a major sordid background with what we have in Washington today called Joe Biden. That does not mean that there somebody should have the right to come in and destroy us as a nation.
Let me finish this. I do not fear Russia. I fear China.
Yes.
Russia is minuscule in power compared to the U.S. today. And the way things are going, China is going to overtake, if it hasn't already, the USA. Also, I do not pray for Ukraine because I am too busy praying for America and praying for the January 6th prisoners. That's whom I pray for. I don't care what happens in Ukraine. I care what happens in the USA to my compatriots, to the patriots that are standing for Trump, and Trump has betrayed the January 6th prisoners, the hostages. So I love Trump, but concerning January 6th, Trump dropped the ball.
Well, I appreciate your position, and I say this, we've got a big God, so you can pray for our nation, and you can pray for Ukraine at the same time, I believe, but that's my opinion. Derby, thank you so much for your call and for your input. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Greg, how do you respond to our comments, and where do you stand on what we're saying? We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left on the broadcast.
Well, you know, it's interesting that early on when these biolabs were brought up and they showed up in a multiplicity of different online forums, and they were denied, that was immediately brushed aside as misinformation or disinformation, probably Russian misinformation. However, Victoria Nuland, the Secretary of, Undersecretary of State, admitted to the existence of these labs,
yes,
yesterday or the day before. And you go, it's amazing how 1 week's misinformation becomes the next week's news cycle. Isn't that, how many times have we lived through that in the past few years? I mean, my goodness. So there are so many tentacles to this. My greater concern from a secular standpoint is seeing an aggressor nation, nuclear-powered super power, like Russia, with Putin at the helm, and how much damage he can do if left without response. And you appropriately tagged the Eastern Ukrainian conflicts were back into has gone on. You have Russian assets within Ukraine,
yes,
that were essentially committing acts of terrorism, and terrorism has to be responded to. Sometimes it's not pretty. I'm not saying that Zelensky has clean hands. I'm certainly not saying that Putin has clean hands. I'm saying you have to be very concerned when an aggressor nation is moving, as Putin is moving today. We know that there's major amount of dirt in both countries. You know that tons of domestic U.S. politicians have dirty money that's been laundered in Ukraine, laundered in Russia. So, yeah, we all know it's corrupt and it's dirty.
Yes.
That doesn't change the other fact at all.
Greg, we've got about 45 seconds. From a Christian standpoint, from a central biblicist standpoint, what's your challenge to our listeners hearing what we've talked about? How should we respond? What are your recommendations and challenges to our listeners today?
Oh, my goodness, there's so much going on in the world. But Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. We're seeing a lot of mourning today. And that's because wicked people are in rule. Christians, you do need to go to your knees today and pray that God would restore this nation, that we would turn from our wicked ways and seek his face even today.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the only hope we have, is to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is still on the throne, and Jesus is coming back soon. And I pray that you'll turn to him before it's eternally too late. Thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
295 FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.